Penguin Random House Audio presents Black Box Thinking, Why Most People Never Learn from Their Mistakes, But Some Do, by Matthew Syed. Read for you by Simon Slater.
Part 1. The Logic of Failure. Chapter 1. A Routine Operation. On the 29th of March 2005, Martin Bromley woke up at 6:15 a.m. and made his way to the bedrooms of his two young children, Victoria and Adam, to get them ready for the day. It was a rainy spring morning a few days after Easter, and the kids were in high spirits as they sprinted downstairs for breakfast. A few minutes later, they were joined by Elaine, their mum, who had snatched a few extra minutes in bed. Elaine, a vivacious 37-year-old, who had worked in the travel industry before becoming a full-time mother, had a big day ahead. She was due in hospital. She had been suffering from sinus problems for a couple of years and had been advised that it would be sensible to have an operation to deal with the issue once and for all. "Don't worry," the doctor had told her. "The risks are tiny. It is a routine operation." Elaine and Martin had been married for 15 years. They met at a country dance through a close friend, had fallen in love, and eventually moved in together in a house in North Marston, a cosy village in the heart of rural Buckinghamshire, 30 miles northwest of London. Victoria had arrived in 1999, and Adam 2 years later in 2001. Life was, as for many young families, hectic, but it was also tremendous fun. They had been in an aeroplane for the first time as a family the previous Thursday, and had gone to a friend's wedding on the Saturday. Elaine wanted to get her operation out of the way so she could enjoy a few days' break. At 7:15 a.m. they left home. The kids chattered in the car as they made the short journey to the hospital. Martin and Elaine were relaxed about the operation. The ear, nose and throat, ENT surgeon, Dr. Edwards, had more than 30 years of experience and was well regarded. The anaesthetist, Dr. Anderton, had 16 years of experience. The hospital had excellent facilities. All was set fair. When they arrived, they were shown to a room where Elaine was put into a blue gown for her operation. "How do I look in this?" she asked Adam, who giggled. Victoria climbed up onto the bed so that her mother could read to her. Martin smiled as he listened to a plot that was by now familiar. On the windowsill, Adam played with his toy cars. At one point, Dr. Anderton came in to ask a couple of standard questions. He was chatty and in fine humour. Like any good doctor, he understood the importance of setting a relaxed tone. Just before 8:30 a.m, Jane, the head nurse, arrived to wheel Elaine into the operating theatre. "Are you ready?" she asked with a smile. Victoria and Adam walked alongside the trolley as it rolled down the corridor. They told their mum how much they were looking forward to seeing her in the afternoon after the operation. As they reached a junction in the corridor, Martin ushered his children to the left as Elaine was wheeled to the right. She leaned up, smiled and cheerily said, "Bye." As Martin and the kids were walking into the car park, they were going to the supermarket to do the weekly shop and buy a treat for Elaine, cookies. Elaine's trolley was being wheeled into the pre-operating room. This room, adjacent to the operating theatre, is where last-minute checks are made and the general anaesthetic administered. Dr. Anderton was with her, a familiar and reassuring face. He inserted a straw-shaped tube called a cannula into a vein at the back of her hand, which would deliver the anaesthetic directly into her bloodstream. "Nice and gently," Dr. Anderton said. "Here you go, into a deep sleep." It was now 8:35 a.m. Anaesthetics are powerful drugs. They don't just send a patient to sleep. They also disable many of the body's vital functions, which have to be managed artificially. Breathing is often assisted using a device called a laryngeal mask. This is an inflatable pouch that is inserted into the mouth and sits just above the airway. Oxygen is then pumped into the airway and down into the lungs. But there was a problem. Dr. Anderton couldn't get the mask into Elaine's mouth. Her jaw muscles had tightened, a familiar
Sample complete. Ready to continue?